Matthew chapter 5, the message tonight is Jesus and blessings. I want to read several scriptures and see what our Savior has to say about blessings. I will abbreviate some of these passages just so you can get the gist and be able to connect them one with another. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he had sat down, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And now, Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and shall separate you from their company, and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Now, Mark chapter 10. Verse 13. And they were bringing unto him little children, that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was moved with indignation, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for to such belongeth the kingdom of God. And now, Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of the sons of Zebedee with her sons, worshipping him, and asking a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wouldest thou? She saith unto him, Command that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? They say unto him, We are able. And verse 23, he says, Indeed you'll drink my cup, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it hath been prepared of my Father. And Luke chapter 2, there are many more, but I'm just reading a few. And perhaps I will tell you what the others are as we go along. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law, then he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart, Lord, according to thy word in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And let's look at chapter 24, Luke 24. Verse 49. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until you be clothed with power from on high. And he led them out till they were over against Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And as he blessed them, it came to pass that he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Now let's speak to the Lord once more in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all of these things that you've told us about your Son. Our Father, we are not able to comprehend him. He says things that we would never expect him to say, gives instructions that are so strange to us. But we are thankful that you've told us about Jesus and blessings, and he has told us his knowledge of blessings. And we desire to understand his description of them this night. Bless everyone who has come. Let us know the others. Bless them as well, our God. Help them. We pray that in their bodies and in their souls, thou shalt bless them. And for us this night, we look to thee for a special blessing from heaven. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm thinking that if I mentioned the subjects that our Savior described as being a blessing, not one of us would want that blessing. How many of you want to mourn? You don't. How many of you want to be persecuted and your name passed out as evil? How many of you want to go hungry? How many of you want to be poor? Then you don't know what blessings are. I just read you that the Lord Jesus told you the ones who were blessed. But the point is this, and this is of the greatest importance. The Lord Jesus, in the first group that he tells us about blessings, are the rewards that are not going to be received now. These things in themselves are not blessings. The mourning, the being cast out as evil, rejected, hated, despised. It takes a great mind and a heart filled with the Spirit to be able to understand blessing while those things are going on. But what he tells us is this. He said, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And he mentions all of these hard things that men experience, and he does not say they are a blessing and an end in themselves, but you're experiencing all of these things now will result in your being blessed in the future. Now that is difficult to accept, but Christ has told us. That's why I gave you the message and its title as Jesus and Blessings, because first of all, He tells us what blessings are, and we would never consider them as blessings, but we would consider them as some penalty that God had put upon us for something that we've done wrong. And yet, the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are ye." So first of all, the mind of Christ is not our mind. And concerning those who have trusted Him as Savior, unless they are certain that there is a life to come, I do not want these blessings from God. If there is a world to come, I can accept what He said. If there is no world to come, then all of these things that He's mentioned are not blessings. And the Lord Jesus assures us of that. And the Apostle Paul corroborates what our Savior said in this way. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if there is no world to come in which we can be blessed, let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we're going to die. Did you know the Bible said that? That if there is no tomorrow, eat and drink today, because you're going to die and that's the end of it. But the Bible says, now is Christ risen. And as Christ has been raised from the dead, we in Christ shall be raised from the dead. And then, as it says, those in Luke's gospel, the ones that are hungry now, shall be filled in the future. And the ones that shed tears now, they're going to rejoice in the future. And so what I have to do is this, to do the will of God, and doing the will of God brings these conditions upon us. But when they come, let us endure them. It says this, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And so first of all, our Savior explains to us about blessings. And there are things that happen now that are not blessings as an end in themselves, but in the future, in the world to come, then they shall be blessings. Now, I want to tell you about two verses that I did not read, but they both have to do with the future. This is what it says. Our Savior was often being invited into people's homes for meals, and He saw the people that were invited to dine with them. He saw that they were well-to-do, that they were friends, and He said, that is not the way to do things, but go out and invite into your home the lame, the blind, and all sorts of other outcasts that we would not want to have anything to do with. And the Lord Jesus said, they have no ability to pay you back. He said, but you shall be rewarded in the resurrection of the just. You see again? Here it's called this future life, not the world to come, but the resurrection of the just. But the age to come, the world to come, the resurrection of the just. The Lord Jesus is constantly telling us that, as it says in Psalm 30, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that is the certainty of all of us who, trusting Christ as Savior and doing God's will, are experiencing some of these things that are unpleasant to us. They are hard to bear. But when we experience those things, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are you, because there's going to be a future. And if you're hungry now, you're going to be filled. If you're mourning now, you will rejoice. And we must lay hold on the promises of God by faith and understand that. And the things that we do for people that can do nothing in return, the Lord Jesus assures us that we will be rewarded in the resurrection of the just. And so now others may look upon us as fools, as denying ungodliness and worldly lust, telling us what a mistake we are making, until that coming day. And they will understand, as that rich man did, who was clothed in purple and fared sumptuously every day, his whole life long. And then it says, he died, and he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. You see the difference. In this life, all the clothing that made him attractive to others, all the food, all the pleasures of life, he enjoyed them all. And the Lord Jesus said, the moment he died, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, think of all that he said in Matthew 5 and Luke 6 about us now, the mourning, the sorrow, the hunger, the hatred, all of those things today. But when we die, then we lift up our eyes and we are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, joy on their head shall be for everlasting. And it says in Matthew chapter 13, in the coming day, then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So accept from Christ that the things that come upon us because we have done the will of God, if they cause mourning, if they cause rejection, if they cause sadness of heart, understand that the reward that Christ is giving is going to be greater in that coming world than anything material blessings of this world could bring to us. I would think that if Christ understood that the enemy was going to get us in his grasp and put us to death, that he would deliver us from that death. But this is what he says to the church at Smyrna. He says, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. He said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He knows how long we are going to suffer. He knows what the suffering shall entail. And he tells us to be faithful unto death. And he makes this promise, I will give you the crown of life. And so we have to accept these things, because mourning and sorrow and weeping come in for the night. But it says, joy cometh in the morning. And so this is what Jesus tells us in describing blessings. But our Savior not only describes what blessings are and the future reward, even though we would not describe them as blessings, he also, during his lifetime, was requested by fathers and mothers to take their children in his hands and in his arms and lay his hands upon them and bless them. This is one of the loveliest portions in the Word of God, and I want you to see two things. That's why I read not only Mark 10, where children are brought to be blessed, and then James and John send their mother and ask Jesus for a particular blessing, a reward. This is a remarkable thing, that when little children, and the word is infants, babies, when they were brought to the Lord Jesus, the disciples were indignant and they said, Jesus can't be bothered with children. Get them out of here. He doesn't want children. And the Lord Jesus would rebuke his disciples and he said, suffer, that means to permit, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples said, do not bring them. The Lord Jesus said, do bring them. And they brought the children, and it says the Lord Jesus took them in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And this is the exhortation I'm giving to all of you, that there is no age that is too young to seek the blessing of the Lord Jesus upon children. I remember hearing a man once speaking of his children, and he said, I'm doing nothing. I'm influencing them in no way. I'm telling them nothing about religion until they grow up and they're able to decide for themselves. Well, that will destroy them. But the Lord Jesus said, permit little children, babies, to come unto me and forbid them not. Isn't this remarkable? That the Lord Jesus loves children, and he's interested in children, and his disciples were unaware and were against the very thing that their master wanted to do. It was Christ's will to take them and bless them, and the disciples' will was to drive them all away. This is an exhortation for you who are elders and leaders in this meeting. You be sure that what you do is in harmony with the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, if someday I say, I'm going to pray now, Lord, we are here tonight, and you say, how strange. But the Bible speaks about lifting up holy hands. You say, but we don't do it that way. You are permitted to do anything the Bible says. And the Apostle Paul says, lifting up holy hands. And this, we're going to pray now, bow your heads. And it says, the Lord Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed. So what shall I do? If I lift up my eyes to heaven and pray, say nothing. If I bow my head and pray, say nothing. If I kneel and pray, say nothing. Because the Bible allows all of these things. But the disciples had decided children should not be brought to Jesus. That's something that will happen later on in life. But the Lord Jesus said, you permit those little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Now, some months back, and this will be of interest to you, there are two dear Indian Christians named Raymond and Gigi Anshin. And they had twins. And when these little things were just a few weeks old, they brought them to the meeting in Goldsboro, where I am. And they said, Uncle John, we want you to take our children and we want you to bless them. And I'm always afraid to hold little babies that I might drop them. If I'm sitting on a sofa where if they fell it would be all right, but I said, bring them to me. And so they brought one little child to me. And I took him in my hands and placed my hand on him and I prayed for God to bless him and to keep him from sin and to save his soul. And then I brought the other one and did the same. And nothing could be better than that. It meant absolutely nothing. It did not save their soul. It did not sanctify them. It simply showed this, that just as these parents in Mark 10 wanted Jesus to bless their children, so since Jesus is now in heaven, the Savior speaks about, if I speak, Jesus is speaking. Any true representative of God, when he speaks the words of God, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And so he's not here to bless them. And so those that are his servants are those that are respected children of God may take little children. They do not have to do it publicly, but I think that's a wonderful thing, to take little children and show the world and for you never to forget. Do you think they will ever forget the time when they brought their children and someone held them and an old man laid his hands upon them and prayed that they might be saved and kept from evil? So think what that would do for their hearts. And we pray in the will of God that something shall be done in the hearts of those little children as well for whom I pray. Now, I wish I could say this, that when Jesus laid his hands on the children and prayed for them, that they would have to be saved. But it's not that way, because Jesus, I told you last week, had great hopes for that rich young ruler. But when he told him the way of salvation, the rich young ruler turned his back and abandoned the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you pray, when we pray for the lost, we pray that the Holy Spirit will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, and that God will do what he sent his Son to do, to save lost souls and to keep these children from sin. Look at youth today and the sin that they're in, and you say that you do not want a man that represents God to pray for that child, to ask a special blessing upon that child? Not baptism, not infant baptism, not a blessing of clergy upon the laity, but simply a Christian, an old man who has been serving God so long, to bless your children and pray that God will save their souls and keep them from sin. And the thing that Jesus did so long ago, others are still doing today. Now notice the contrast, because this is remarkable. When the parents brought the children to Jesus, the disciples said no. But Jesus said yes. And when the mother brought her sons to Jesus for a yes, Jesus said no. Isn't that remarkable? Here is the mother of James and John. And if you read in Mark 10 and in Matthew 20:20, you see the two accounts. But when you read them both, you understand that just as Adonijah sent Bathsheba to Solomon to ask a favor, so James and John sent their mother to Jesus to ask for a favor. Maybe they knew it was wrong. Maybe they thought they did not have enough influence to get that blessing they wanted from the Lord, and so they sent their mother. But what happens is this. Jesus immediately saw through it, because when the mother makes the request, he says, "You, ye do not know what you ask." He immediately turns to James and John, and he sees that they have sent their mother. Now, there are some blessings that Jesus will pray for, and it's possible for those blessings to be yours. But it is impossible for you to go into the presence of Jesus and say, "Now, when your kingdom comes, I want to sit on your right hand, and I want to sit on your left hand, just because I've asked you first, and just because you show me a special favor. I want that." The Lord Jesus said, "Absolutely not. Because, true, someone's going to sit on my right hand and on my left hand, but it is not arbitrarily given, because I have favorites, but my Father is going to determine who is worthy to sit on my right hand and on my left. And they are the ones who are going to sit there." And so do not think that you can go to Jesus and pray for certain blessings and then live a life of sin, a life of mediocrity, a lukewarm life, and still think that Jesus is going to bless you in that coming day with great rewards. Ask for blessings, but do nothing to inherit those blessings, and you will receive no blessings. The Lord Jesus says, "My Father has his eye on the situation, and the ones that deserve to be rewarded, they shall be rewarded." Here is what he wants us to understand. Now, this is what is so remarkable as well. If I ask you, at what age did Jesus prove to be a blessing to his fellow man? I tell you that the first blessing that Jesus bestowed upon his fellow man was when he was 40 days old. God had revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until the promised Messiah should come upon the scene. And this man, living in fellowship with the Spirit of God, was told to go to the temple at that very hour. And when he came to the temple, Joseph and Mary had brought the Lord Jesus to fulfill the ritual of Leviticus chapter 12. And the Spirit of God said, "This is the time for you to go into the temple." And when the parents had the Lord Jesus, now think, in Mark chapter 10, the Lord Jesus, a mature man, had babies in his arms. And now, in Luke chapter 2, a mature old man has Jesus in his arms. But the thing is this, that when this old man held the Lord Jesus in his arms, it was the greatest blessing he had ever received in his life. And our Savior did not speak one word. But he was able, empowered and illumined by the Spirit of God, to look into the face of the Lord Jesus and see salvation. And he said, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, O Lord, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast sent forth before the face of all the people. And a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and a blessing to the children of Israel. So see that the Lord Jesus, without saying one thing, when he was held in the arms of Simeon, it blessed the man to this degree. It says concerning the Israelites that all their lifetime they were filled with fear because of death. They were subject to bondage because they were afraid to die. And now, this baby in the arms of Simeon, he is examined by Simeon. And Simeon says, Lord, I'm ready to go. Think of that blessing that Christ imparted to that old man. And he was able to see by the Spirit of God, this child growing, maturing, dying on the cross, whatever was necessary to give that man peace. He was able to see it, and Jesus, without saying a word, simply being the fulfillment of the promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child, and the Lord Jesus is that child. And the Spirit of God said, Simeon, you are going to see that child. And Simeon saw him, and that was all that was necessary. Whatever life he had lived, it was of nothing. It was no consequence once he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that was the blessing of Christ in his life. Now, the first long extended recorded message, discourse that Jesus gave was in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5. And he starts speaking about blessings. And the last thing that the Lord Jesus is seen doing before he goes back to heaven is lifting up his hands and blessing his children before he goes back to his Father where he came from. So think, the beginning of Christ's life is with blessings, and the end of Christ's life is with blessings. But concerning these blessings, they were blessings to be bestowed immediately then, because Christ's kingdom was to come, and the kingdom was to be brought through the labor and activity of his disciples. And so the Savior said, now, you wait for the promise of the Father. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and when he comes upon you, you shall receive power. This is what he says in Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said that, he lifted up his hands in blessing, and he went back to heaven. And what is the blessing? It is the power of God to overcome the temptations of the evil one, and also to escape the slavery of sin that has held us in bondage our whole life long. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under law, but under grace. And the weak, fearful apostles of Christ before Pentecost, they are suddenly filled with boldness. Peter, who said he would die for the Lord Jesus, denied him 3 times. But now, after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they are indwelt and empowered by the Spirit of God, on that day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and preaches a magnificent message fearlessly. And the people look upon him later, and they look upon John, and they take knowledge of them that they've been with Jesus. Why? Because they are fearless, and therefore the blessings that Jesus gave to them before he went back to heaven was blessing to sustain them in this life. And the other blessings that Jesus speaks about are blessings that are going to be fulfilled in the next life. And so our Savior, first and last, was a man of blessings. Aaron, was he told to pronounce this blessing upon Israel? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Well, whatever Aaron could do for the children of Israel, the Lord Jesus, through his blessings, can do in a superior way to those that are his children today. And so Jesus, is the Blessed One. And the promise and what we are looking for today is found in Titus chapter 2. It says that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we are to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the greatest blessing that shall come is when we are delivered, as Paul cried out, "Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And I told you last Lord's Day that when the Lord Jesus appears, we shall be like him, or we shall see him even as he is. He blesses us now and empowers us to do his will, to carry out his program, that the church might be formed and completed. And in the coming day, all the things that seemingly have brought sorrow and mourning and rejection, that are not blessings but curses, in the coming day, we will understand that they shall turn out to be blessings as well. So Jesus is the man of blessings, and he is our Savior. As Aaron was Israel's, the Lord Jesus is ours, and the Lord Jesus has blessed us. Now that's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that you have determined that we should inherit a blessing. We've already been blessed, our God. Your Son said to those who heard the parables, the mysteries of the kingdom, "Many kings and righteous men desired to hear the things that you heard and heard them not, and to see the things that you have seen and saw them not. But blessed are your ears and your eyes, because you have seen and heard." And so for all the truth that thou hast given us, our God, our hearts that are filled with hope and understanding of the Scripture, Christ, who is the light of the world, who has promised, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." For all the light that he shined upon us, we thank you. And we rejoice that he can bless us in this life, and he has promised to bless us in the life to come. And therefore, our God, let us live for you. And let us say with the Apostle Paul, "The sufferings of this present time, so insignificant, so small, so ephemeral, our Father, they are nothing in comparison to the eternal blessings that shall be ours who do the will of God." And so we thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord, the Savior, who came with blessings. In his name, amen. The meeting is over.